Well, I'm still here, so I guess I wasn't thrown out of my head there because of what I spoke on in chapter 9. So now we come to chapter 10. Good to be with you once again. And let's read in chapter 10 then, and we'll read the first four or five verses here and then continue on from there. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God for Israel is that they might be saved. That seems to sum it up, doesn't it? Right in the middle. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describes the righteousness of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring down Christ from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ from the dead. But what saith that the word is nigh, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of, well, faith, which we preach. Well, we'll come back and we'll do some more, hopefully get to at least an overview of this section, this chapter. And so we see then, we've looked at this issue in chapters 9 through 11, that Paul is confronted with a problem as a result of what he's covered in chapters 1 through 8. That is, in chapters 1 through 8, we have the fact that it is Christ alone that saves, and that he talks all about that, having peace in Christ and so on, in chapters 1 through 8. Now he comes to chapter 9, and then the question will arise in various people's minds. You know, what now about the people that are after my flesh? That is, Jewish people that don't know Jesus. Weren't the promises not made to the ones who know Jesus, but the promises were made to those way back, to Abraham and on. And so to the Jew might be wondering this, right? Well, wait a minute now. Yeah, that's very nice. All these Gentiles are getting saved, but how about the Jews? And then for the Gentiles, well, they might boast, right? Well, I see, yeah, we're so good, you know, we're marvelous, you know. We're getting saved, and you guys aren't bothering. You see, you could boast. And so Paul's got an issue then, a problem. How are we going to handle the nation as it is now at his time? Israel. And so you see, as we read verses 1 through 5, that God, of course, had chosen in chapter 9 the nation of Israel. And had brought them out, had, quote, saved them, right, as far as physically. They weren't all saved individually as far as knowing God. But they were saved as a nation. And so now, when we come to chapter 10, it says, well, now God had, in a sense, rejected them. Because they had tried to do righteousness or, you know, basically come to God their own way, didn't they? Haven't we done that sometimes? Come our own way. Remember Abraham and Sarah tried to help God out. Didn't work so well, did it? And it actually caused more problems than perhaps it was worth. But it did provide us some great lessons. And so you see in verses 1 through 5 that we just read in chapter 10, we had to recognize that God, not only was he sovereign in choosing the nation to be his vessel, his place of service, but he also chose to, well, then to reject the nation when they didn't do what they were supposed to do. But remember, he still had the promise, didn't he? So now that's a problem, isn't it? This is the problem that Paul's dealing with now. You know, well, now what do we do? You know, so but he's trying to bring out what God is doing. He's still faithful. He still keeps his promises. And though he may appear to have rejected the nation based on what we hear here, he's saying, well, you have to be careful. The thing is, wouldn't you expect, you think about these Jewish people, what did they have going for them? Well, they had everything going for them, right? They had the Word of God, and they had the covenants and the sacrifices, I said before, and the temple. They had everything going for them. You think if anyone was going to get saved, who would it be? The Jews, right? They had it all, right? God had shown them everything. He had chosen by them to bring all this stuff out. And yet, all still had to believe by faith, didn't they? You could have all that stuff, which is very clear from Romans chapter 10. And you see, you would think they would be saved. They're the first to be saved. And yet they seem to be the last to be saved. And so they misused the law, didn't they? And they thought the law was the way for righteousness, right? Well, we got to just make sure we do every tittle of the law, right? If we do every tittle, well, we're saved. See? That's how they looked at it. There are Christians that still do that today, by the way. There's some, right? Some denominations that really, they're a lot into the law. Be very careful. Because as he says, you know, if you're going to get into it, you better live by it too, right? That's what you'll be judged on. I wonder if any of us has broken the law. Anybody here break the law at all? I mean, even in our own land? No one here. Wow, that's pretty good. I hope you're not lying. Oh, you've already broken the law now, haven't you? By not raising your hand. Or not confessing or whatever you might want to call it. You see, really the law was there for a purpose, wasn't it? There was a purpose. It's a very good thing. The law was very good. But it had a purpose of showing they could not do it. To show how bad they were, right? How ill they were. That they needed a physician. They needed someone to help them. But they refused, didn't they? They refused to recognize that they needed help. No, we got this law. We're going to get it. You know, even in Jesus' time, right? In John chapters 5 through 10. Right? Same thing for the Pharisees and so on, right? And they reject Christ, of course. They're ignorant of what God would want to do. It goes back to Abraham. They had left Abraham behind. Oh, yeah, that's Father Abraham. But they really didn't think about what he did as far as how did he get along. And Abraham was blessed by God because he believed. Not because he obeyed some law. Faith came before what? Well, before law. Faith came before circumcision. Faith comes before all of it. But they refused to see that. They would own Abraham as their father, but they weren't worried about faith. They had to put that all aside. Now they're into Moses, right? And they're focusing more on Moses than Abraham. But yet they understood that God had used Abraham, and so they would, you know, at least notice him. But they tried to establish their own righteousness, and they did not submit to God's, as we saw there in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 10. But then verses 6 through 8 we read, and those are sort of strange verses, aren't they? Chapter 10, 6 through 8. And what does that really mean, going up to heaven, bring Christ down, or going down and bring Christ up? But it, really the key is verse 8, isn't it? See, if you read verse 8, it says there, "But what saith it? The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." What are you saying? Well, you say, it's not going here or going there, trying to find where it is you need to get the... How do you find the way? It doesn't. You don't need to go anywhere. It's right there with you, you see, right? You don't need to go above. You don't need to go below. But you see, it's nigh unto you. You've already got it, he's saying. You don't need to go anywhere else. The word of faith has been there. It goes all the way back. And so he's saying, you know, they would seek all kinds of ways of righteousness and whatever. And, you know, and that's, I think, what he's saying. You know, you can go way up and you go way down. You say, Christ is already there, right? You don't need to go anywhere else. The word is there. He's already brought it. You don't have to try and find Christ's righteousness. It's already available. It's evidence. So I make a note here that, you know, God's righteousness is evident and thereby, isn't it? It's evident nearby. You don't need to go anywhere to find it, as the verses suggest there in 6 through 8. Well, it's sort of interesting. It's not out of reach then, is it? It's not out of reach. Christ has already come down. You don't need to bring him down, right? And he's already been raised from the dead, hasn't he? You don't have to go down again. Right? It's already all done, right? Nothing to be done. It's already available. He's already risen, and we can know, can't we? So you can know it, he says. It's not very hard, is it? It seems very simple, right? You say, you don't need to go about finding your own way. Christ has already done the work. He's done it all. And all you have to do is believe. Would they, though? That's the question. Would they believe? But this is what he's saying. He's saying to these folks here in Rome, whether they're Jew or Gentile, that this is the reality. And if they're Jewish, they should understand this, right? But the Gentiles have got to understand what the Jews' perspective. He's saying now the Jews, you know, are not totally rejected by God. But he's saying to the Gentiles, by the way, yes, they were wrong. And God had a right He chose to reject their way of doing it, but God is still faithful. So don't get too boastful, he says. You know, later on in chapter 11. And we see that. And so now when we come down to the following verses, let me go ahead and read those following verses. Chapter 10. You see verse 9. But if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Now, we'll stop there for a second. You see now how he's gone, and the issue of the gospel still comes out, doesn't it? See, chapters 1 through 8, the issue of the gospel. Now he comes in chapter 9 through 11, he's dealing with the issue of the nation, and how are they going to get saved? But the problem is, of course, it's not, in a sense, how the nation will be saved someday. But now, to be saved, of course, they have to be individually part of that, right? To be part of that saved nation, they've got to be individually saved. And so now he says, you see, the Jews did it differently. And you Gentiles, of course, got saved the right way, faith. Well, that's marvelous. He says, now here's what you've done, right? This is what happens. And it's true for each one of us, isn't it? That we believed. And we did what it said here in verses 9 and 10. We confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts. Well, we did. And so we got saved, didn't we? But then you see verse 12. Very important verse, isn't it? In relation to what's being talked about. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Ah, that's interesting. So now what's happened? There's no difference between Jew and Gentile? Because at this time, when he's writing, right? But now Jews and Gentiles are both getting saved, of course, the same way, by faith. And they're becoming members of the church, aren't they? The middle wall of partition has been broken. Now, there's a lot of verses we can go to. I won't go to all different verses, but you can read them. You know about them, right? The middle wall of partition has been broken down, hasn't it? There's neither Jew nor Greek and so on, right? Male and female and so on, in Christ. It's marvelous to see. And so he brings out very clearly here in chapter 10 now, he's saying now, you see, yes, Jews were, everything came to the Jewish people, and God had chosen them as vessels to be used of him for his glory and so on. But not all were saved, not all were of Israel. But someday everybody in Israel will be of Israel, right? I mean, someday they're all going to be saved, the nation. But by then they'll all be believers. Just a remnant will be believers. Today the remnant's the church, we might say. At least an illustration of it. And so we see Jew and Gentile now get saved the same way. And so all those are who will be saved. But then the question will be, well, that's very nice, but we still got the issue of, well, how he's going to save the nation in the future. And the Jewish people might say, well, we've never heard. Right? Well, like Pharaoh, right? Well, I'm ignorant, right? Right? You see, he goes into that, doesn't he, in verse 12, verse 13, excuse me. For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Because that becomes key, isn't it? Faith means we believe, doesn't it? Faith means I've turned around and believed, haven't I? Or some people call it repentance and believing, right? That's fine. I think faith includes repentance. I don't see repentance as a separate step. I see his faith includes it. Because if I believe in this, and now I want to believe in Christ, what do I do? Well, I have to turn from that to Christ, don't I? So it seems to me I'm repenting as well. That's just a thought. And so you see, he says now they have to believe. The problem is, of course, to believe, you've got to, of course, hear something, don't you? You got to hear it. It's not osmosis, so at least at this time when he's speaking. Now, he did speak through creation, Romans says, of course, and other things, prophets and so on. But there are ways of hearing, right? So he said the message has to go forth. And so, but he says, well, they have to hear, but how are they going to hear without a preacher? You've got to have some preach. And so we have preachers, don't we? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, you have to have someone. So he started saying there's a series here of things to be done. And he says, how beautiful are the people that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Ooh, the good news. But isn't that what we've been talking about? Remember chapter 1, the gospel? Chapter, at the end of the book, chapter 16, the gospel, right? The end of, end of the chapter. The issue of the gospel, the good news, the gospel of peace. But you see, then he says, now, there's the problem. That's the way it should be, he says. But remember, at the beginning of chapter 10, he says, well, you see, they went about the wrong way. They're trying to do it by law, their own righteousness. But you see, in chapter 10, verse 16, this shouldn't be surprising. He uses the Jewish scriptures to show that what happened. He says in verse 16, but they had not all obeyed the gospel. And he goes back to where to tell them? What book? Well, Isaiah. Well, that's not a New Testament book, is it? That's from the Old Testament. So now he's still talking about Israel, isn't he? He's going back and saying, now you Jewish people should understand this, right? And you Greeks too should know, because you know you're dealing with them. And you may get boastful. Don't get boastful. But you see, they had have not all obeyed the gospel. They had the gospel too. Because it all goes all the way back to Abraham. He believed by faith, didn't he? Well, even Noah and others too, of course. But we're talking about the root of the nation, right? And Abraham is the root of the nation. So we go back as far as Abraham in this sense here. And so it goes on to say, they had not obeyed the gospel. Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? You see, so he quotes from Isaiah, of course. And he's saying, well, now who's believed the report? Basically saying, Lord, the report's gone out. You know, the ministry has gone out. And who's believed it? Isaiah had the same struggle, didn't he? How about Jeremiah? I think he had some struggles. Ezekiel. Just a few people had struggles with this, right? Despite the fact that the news was going out, the gospel was going out, that they need to come back to God and so on. And they couldn't say, again, like Pharaoh, right? See the connection? They couldn't go back and say, we had not heard. Remember Pharaoh, right? He says, well, you see Pharaoh, you know, here's the finger of God. Had he heard? God was merciful, wasn't he? The great lesson, of course, is God is merciful before he judges, isn't he? It's great. Thank God for that, right? Imagine if he had judged us first, right? We'd be in trouble. If wrath came first. But you see, mercy comes first. And so you see, he goes back there. And Israel did hear, didn't they? That's the key. He's saying, Israel did hear the gospel, he's saying. Paul's saying. Just like you guys, you Gentiles heard the gospel, but they heard it and they did what? Rejected it. You may have received it, praise his name. But don't get boastful because, you see, God's still working with them people. And the brothers will get into that next week, whoever the brother is, whether it's Alan or Mike or whoever, right? You'll get into the issue, perhaps get to the issue of the olive tree, right, and all that other stuff. And it's all connected. And so... did Israel not, and so you might say, so you come back down to verse 14, did not Israel know? And the answer is, Israel had heard, but they did not believe. And if you don't believe, guess what? You don't call upon his name, do you? Israel heard, Israel did not believe, Israel did not call. Perhaps I'd summarize it that way, right? In verses 14 through 21, that they heard, did not believe, and so they did not call. You heard, you believed, and you called upon the name of the Lord, didn't you? So it works. Faith. And so you might say, so what he's saying, see, someone, just like Pharaoh might do, right? Or anybody else, see, the Pharisees, for instance, in Jesus' time, they could not blame God, could they? They can't blame God as if it was his fault that I didn't know. Because someone could do that, right? Someone could say, well, I never heard. And that's true, isn't it? That God's going to deal righteously, isn't he? Just, he'll be just. And how all that works out, I may not know. As far as, you know, how does he... the Aborigine has never heard. Some people bring that up, right? Well, God will be just, as he tells Abraham. Remember back in Abraham, chapter 18? Will not the judge of the earth do right? And the implication is he will, won't he? He always does right. He's a just God. And so what Paul's trying to bring out here, that now he's just shown that Israel knew, they had heard, they rejected. It's not God's fault, is it? They can't complain to God that they did not know. So when they get judged, well, God, why are we being judged? You knew. He quotes the church. He quotes the scriptures, right? Their own Old Testament scriptures, Hebrew Bible. They had refused, and boy, now of course God allows the Gentiles to get saved. So we can't boast. He allows the Gentiles to get saved in hopes that what? That the Jews will become jealous of it, right? Look at these people. They're all getting, they're getting blessed, and they're, you know, getting saved, and they're rejoicing in our God. maybe there's something to this, maybe, right? And so when the Gentiles started getting saved, what did the Jews do? Did they get all excited? Hey, let's join you? No. They refused, didn't they? And they did not care for the Gentiles getting saved, did they? Everywhere the gospel went, right, outside of Jerusalem, Asia Minor and so on, as it went out, they were against it. They would send out people to raise riots and so on, right? They didn't want people getting saved. Can you imagine? Here's the Jewish people. Not only did they want to believe the gospel themselves, they rejected what they had heard. They don't want anyone else believing either. That's just like the Pharisees, isn't it? Because you see, I forgot where it's one of the gospel. You know, Jesus says in one of the gospels where he says, you don't go in and you try to prevent others from coming into the kingdom, right? I'm paraphrasing. Right? Isn't it sad? People, it's one thing if you don't believe, but then to try to prevent others from going in? Wow. And that's what the Jews were doing. And so we have there in chapter 10, this whole idea that they had heard, and it's not God's fault. Now what's going to happen, of course, verse 21 of chapter 10. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. All day long. He's reached out to them, they've heard, and they've rejected it. And so in chapter 9, what's going to happen with Israel? And how should the Jews and Gentiles view what's going on in relation to the gospel in 1 through 8? And then chapter 10, he says now, Israel cannot blame God. They went about their own way, just like men do today, right? They want to get to heaven their own way. But they can't blame God because God has made it very clear, hasn't he? It's by faith. And then, of course, and I know our time zones, you'll get to chapter 11 next week, and our brethren will get into some detail, or maybe someone will do more detail in chapter 10. That's fine. But then, of course, you see he will get into Romans chapter 11 next week. I'll go over there real quick here. And then, and so now verse 1 of chapter 11, he says, based on 9 and 10, all that he's covered now with the nation, right? I say then, hath God cast away his people? See, there's been an argument, right? He's talking about what's happened. And as a result of that, what he's just talked about, the person might come to the conclusion that, yes, God has gotten rid of them, right? Because they refused. And Paul says in verse 1, God forbid. For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham. Oh, there's the root, isn't it? See that's there's your root. So when you start talking about the root, there you go. It goes all the way back to Abraham, doesn't it? Because that's where the nation started. Now, they're called Hebrews later on after, I think it was Abraham's grandfather or whatever it was. I can't remember now off the top of my head. But you know, basically Israel's, you know, it's based on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he says in verse 2, God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Well, you see, what had he done? Well, he had chosen the nation, didn't he? They weren't all believers, but he chose the nation to serve him. He says, you know what? I'm going to keep my promises because I promised Abraham that nation would be saved. If I destroy the whole nation, I wipe them all out, well, that's not so good. Remember, he had still had Moses left before, even if he had, right? The nation will continue to exist and there will be a remnant saved, as we know from other scriptures as well. And so you see that's what he's been dealing with. So we'll go to chapter 11. Brothers will get in more detail and look at the details there. And so the whole purpose is to show that Israel has not been rejected finally, right? But there will be a remnant saved. And there will be, as it were, an Israel that believes. It'll be a smaller Israel. It'll be just a remnant. Like the church, right? It won't be. You know, of course, there are many in the church that are Gentiles. Some Jews in the church as well today. But it'll be a small remnant. We're just perhaps an illustration of what will happen down the road for the Jews as well. And so they will not be cast away. It's very clear in Scripture. Israel will not be cast away, he says. I don't know why people think he's going to be cast away. They spiritualize or whatever, I guess. I don't know. Well, God's working, isn't he? And so I hope this is a help to you. I know our time is already noon, so I know our time's up. But we'll be praying, just ask God's help. But you see then how hopefully contextually we've helped get a sense for the whole thing. This issue of the gospel for the individual is very important. But then you see God's chosen this other nation, this people. What is he going to do with it? Well, they also will all someday be believers, right? The nation that ends up being the remnant will all be believers someday. And then it'll be all, and God will have all in all, right? It'll be all for God's glory. But until that's done, of course, well, we have the church, don't we? And we have to have individuals saved. And so he goes into the gospel, even here in this section, and says, you know what, well, this is how we got saved. Well, you see, that same gospel went to the Israelites, but they didn't believe, did they? But they were elected, weren't they? Well, yes, they were elected, they were chosen, but they weren't saved. It says they're right there, doesn't it? You got to be careful not to mix it up, right? Now, again, I understand election can be a hard concept, but don't mix it up too much. He says there, they did not what? Believe. But they were chosen, you see. So we have to be careful, don't we? But someday, all that are believers will be the chosen, won't they? Whether it's the church in Christ or Israel in Abraham, right? Well, actually, we're all spiritually blessed in Abraham, aren't we? As the scriptures bring out from Galatians and so on. Galatians, another great study in relation to this, right? And the seed and so on. Well, we'll leave it to the Lord to help us, but I hope that's a help to you. I know it's been a help to me to think through it and consider carefully the whole thing. And then to try and understand more of the details. I don't say I understand every detail, but I think conceptually it makes sense what God is saying here through Paul as you look at the issue of the nation. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had to be together once again. We appreciate these folks who have stayed and desire to get to know thy word better. And Lord, we don't claim to know all the details. We recognize sometimes we there are certain verses we like and we'll bring out and we can talk about and so on, and others we'll skip over pretty quick sometimes. We just pray that this little overview of this section might be a help to us, that your Spirit might guide us to see that, well, we're all saved the same way, really, by faith. We thank you for your way of doing it. And Lord, we recognize that many try to do it their own way. May we be a testimony to them that doing it our own way doesn't work, whether Jew or Gentile. And we thank you, too, that we can be a testimony even in this world today. There can be those preaching the gospel, no doubt, from among these people here that are with us, whether Zoom or here physically. We'll preach the gospel this coming week. We pray it might go forth without hindrance, that souls might be saved, and that we might continue to be those people that really show forth that we genuinely know Christ. And we give you thanks knowing you'll help us. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.